Am I Blue? Page 23. Melvin is an angel who teaches and protects gay people and people who are undecided. He comes to help Vincent and says that he is a fairy godfather. Melvin gives Vincent gaydar, the magical ability to see who is gay and who is not.
We used to imagine what it would be like if every gay person in the country turned blue for a day. My eyes went wide. Why? So all the straights would have to stop imagining that they didn't know any gay people. They would find out that they had been surrounded by gays all the time and survived the experience just fine, thank you. They'd have to face the fact that there are gay cops and gay farmers, gay teachers and gay soldiers, gay parents and gay kids. The hiding would finally have to stop. He looked at me for a moment. How would you like to have the sight? He asked. What? How would you like to have gaydar for a while? You might find it interesting. Does this count as a wish? I asked suspiciously. No, it's education. Comes under a different category. All right, I said, feeling a little nervous. Close your eyes, said Melvin. After I did as he requested, I felt him touch each of my eyelids lightly. My cheeks began to burn as I wondered if anyone else had seen. Okay, he said. Open up, big boy, and see what the world is really like. I opened my eyes and gasped. About a third of the people in the cafe, including the guy Melvin had winked at, were blue. Some were bright blue. Some were deep blue. Some just had bluish tint to them. Are you telling me all those people are gay? I whispered. To some degree or other. But so many of them? Well, this isn't a typical place, said Melvin. You told me the theater crowd hangs around in here. He waved his hand grandly. Groups like that tend to have a higher percentage of gay people because we're so naturally artistic. He frowned. Of course, some bozos take a fact like that and decide that everyone doing theater is gay. Remember, 2/3 of the people you're seeing aren't blue. What about all the different shades? I asked. It's an indicator of degree. The dark blues are pretty much excluding queer, while the lighter ones are less committed, or maybe like you, trying to make up their minds. I set it up so that you'll see at least a hint of blue on anyone who has had a gay experience. Come on, let's go for a walk. It was like seeing the world through new eyes. Most of the people looked just the same as always, of course. But Mr. Alwayne, the fat guy who ran the grocery store, looked like a giant blueberry, which surprised me because he was married and had 3 kids. On the other hand, Ms. Thorndike, the librarian, who everyone knew was a lesbian, didn't have a trace of blue on her. Can't tell without the spell, said Melvin. Straights are helpless at it. They're always assuming someone is or isn't for all the wrong reasons. We were in the library because Melvin wanted to show me some books. Here, flip through this, he said, handing me a 1-volume history of the world. My blue vision worked on pictures, too. Julius Caesar? I asked in astonishment. Every woman's husband, every man's wife, said Melvin. I met him at a party on the other side once. Nice guy. Flipping some more pages, he said, Here, check this one out. Alexander the Great was a fairy? I cried. Shh, hissed Melvin. We're in a library. All right. I suppose you're wondering about me, as in, was I blue? The answer is, slightly. When I asked Melvin to explain, he said, The magic eight ball says signs are mixed. In other words, you are one confused puppy. That's the way it is sometimes. You'll figure it out after a while. Watching the news that night was a riot. My favorite network anchor was about the shade of a spring sky. Pale blue, but very definite. So was the congressman he interviewed, who happened to be a notorious Republican homophobe. Hypocrite, I spat.
What brought that on? Asked Dad.
Oh, nothing, I said, trying to figure out whether I was relieved or appalled by the slight tint of blue that covered his features. Don't get the idea that everyone I saw was blue. It broke down pretty much the way the studies indicate. About 1 person in 10 solid blue, and 1 out of every 3 or 4 with some degree of shading. I did get a kick out of the 3 blue guys I spotted in the sports feature on the team favored to win the Super Bowl. But it was that congressman who stayed on my mind. I couldn't forget his hypocritical words about the great crime of homosexuality and the gay threat to American youth. I was brushing my teeth when I figured out what I wanted to do. No, I whispered, staring at my bluish face in the mirror. I couldn't. For one thing, it would probably mean another beating from Butch Carrigan. Yet, if I did it, nothing would ever be the same. Rinsing away the toothpaste foam, I whispered Melvin's name.
At your service, he said, shimmering into existence behind me.
Ooh, what a tacky bathroom. Where was your mother brought up, in a Kmart? Leave my mother out of this, I snapped. I want to make my second wish.
And it is?
Gay fantasy number 3, coast to coast. He looked at me for a second, then began to smile.
How's midnight for a starting point?
24 hours should do the trick, don't you think? I replied. He rubbed his hands, chuckled, and disappeared. I went to bed, but not to sleep. I kept thinking about what it would mean when the rest of the world could see what could be seen today. I turned on the radio, planning to listen to the news every hour. I had figured the first reports would come in on the 1 o'clock news. But I was wrong. It was about 12:30 when special bulletins started announcing a strange phenomenon. By 1 o'clock, every station I could pick up was on full alert. Thanks to the wonders of modern communication, it had become obvious in a matter of minutes that people were turning blue from coast to coast. It didn't take much longer for people to start figuring out what the blue stood for. The reaction ranged from panic to hysterical denial to dancing in the streets. National Public Radio quickly summoned a panel of experts to discuss what was going to happen when people had to go to work the next day. Or school, I muttered to myself, which was when I got my next idea. Melvin, I shouted.
You rang?
He asked, shimmering into sight at the foot of my bed. I just figured out my third wish. I took a deep breath. I want you to turn Butch Carrigan blue. He looked at me for a moment, then his eyes went wide.
Vincent, he said.
I like the way you think. I'll be back in a flash.
When he returned, he was grinning like a cat.
You've still got one wish left, kiddo, he said with a chuckle. Butch Carrigan was already blue as a summer sky when I got there.
If I caused you any trouble with Blue Day, I'm sorry, but not much, because things are never going to be the same now that it happened. Never.
And my third wish? I've decided to save it for when I really need it. Maybe when I meet the girl of my dreams. Or Prince Charming. Whichever.